Hey everybody, this is Lauren Marie Taylor. You know me as Vicky from Friday the 13th Part 2. And you are listening to the most amazing podcast called Don't Go Out There. So listen up, don't go out there, stay out of the woods.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Podcast. We really appreciate y'all listening. We really thank you, all of our fans and listeners. Super excited. Tonight, we have the honor of welcoming back one of our favorite past guests, known most for her role in Friday the 13th Part 2, but most recently in the new hit, In a Violent Nature, the wonderful Lauren Marie Taylor. Miss Taylor, how are you doing?
I'm super. I have a new puppy, and he's right down here with me. We just got him yesterday, and my brother sent me the most awesome t-shirt, and I'll show it to you guys. It's the In a Violent Nature.
Nice.
T-shirt. Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. Look at that. Look at Johnny, man.
That's awesome.
That's a great looking shirt.
Absolutely. Yes. What
cool?
kind of dog do you have?
I've got, let me pick him up.
Yes, please.
Come here, Hank. His name is Hank.
Hey, Hank.
Hey, how you doing?
I used to have a Siberian Husky named Hank.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's a Border Collie.
That's nice. A great name.
Yeah. He's actually the son of our 3-year-old Border Collie's mother's sister, if that makes sense. So, yeah, they're like cousins, I guess.
Cousins.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, they're cousins. Yeah.
That's
but
awesome.
He's cute. Yeah.
Well, Lauren, we definitely want to ask you about In a Violent Nature, but in our first interview, we kind of went through your whole entire career, but there were some things, a few things that we wanted to pick apart and ask about, if you don't mind, that we didn't touch on last time you joined.
You found out I was a pole dancer? Come on.
Oh, well, let's talk about that first then. No. But no, we didn't talk about your most prominent role in soap opera Loving, which you appeared in over 500 episodes of from 1983 to 1995. Tell us, what was that experience like, you know, going from mostly movies beforehand to a main role in a series like that?
Yeah, it was a little crazy. I mean, I had a small role on Ryan's Hope the year before I booked Loving. So I was kind of on their radar, and I'd been auditioning and getting screen tested for some of the other New York soap operas, like All My Children, One Life to Live, you know, all the New York ones, Guiding Light. And I never booked anything. I just couldn't clinch it, you know, to use a baseball term, speaking of Hank Aaron, I couldn't clinch it, you know? And when I auditioned for this, the casting directors, they've known me since I started doing commercials. So I'd known them for several years at this point. And they were like, Lauren, we really, really would like to see you on TV. And, you know, let's, you know, give it our all. And when I got the screen test, it was with a guy by the name of Chris Markentel. And we had done a couple commercials together. So we knew each other already. So when we did the screen test, we did it as Rick. But then we added a little thing at the end where he tried to kiss me, which was not in the script at all. And I hauled off and slapped him in the face. And so I think we just blew it out of the water. But, you know, being on a soap opera, it's like being a politician. You know, you got to get along with everybody. You got to go to the appearances, which, you know, it's very different from horror cons, where at horror cons, obviously people are purchasing your pictures or you're signing books or DVDs, posters. With a soap opera, there's none of that. You get paid by the network to do the appearance, a flat fee, and then that's it. The weirdest thing about being on the soap opera is that the whole time I was on it, whenever I would do a mall appearance or host a morning program around the country, no one mentioned Friday the 13th Part 2. Not one person. Everybody focused on Neighbors because that was, you know, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. Right. But it was a cool experience, though. You know, it was a lot of memorization, a lot of love scenes, things like that. So it was... I grew up on the show. You know, I started as a newlywed and had all 3 children while I was on it. So it was full adult learning experience. Yeah.
All 3 children sounds like the name of a soap opera anyway.
All 3 children. Yeah. And a
Well,
puppy.
You're you're a veteran on both sides of it. So I got to ask, you know, what do you prefer? Do you prefer movies or do you prefer working on television?
Wow, that's hard. I mean, the pace of the soap opera is exciting when you're a type A personality, which right. I am. I'm like, you know, it's, people think I drink coffee all day and I don't. I only have a couple cups in the morning. They're big cups, but it is a couple cups. But I like, I don't want to say the relaxed pace of a movie, but you're just a lot more settled because every day, I mean, even on the soap opera, every day is new. But it's your character on a movie set. I don't know. It's more intense, but the pace is different because it's, you know, cut up over a period of time. It's like having, you know, a 5-course meal, but being able to take your time with it and really get the flavors of it instead of get it done. You know, 1 episode a day, keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess movies then.
Makes sense.
That's fair. Staying with Loving, another name that horror fans are familiar with, Rebecca Gayheart. She was in 178 episodes. Me and Brian actually got to meet her at Spooky Empire last October. Uh-huh. She was really nice. We're big fans of her. So any good stories about your time working with Ms. Gayheart? What was she like to work with?
She was gorgeous, first of all. I mean, she came onto the show and everybody was just like, who the heck is that? I mean, her look is just so unusual, you know, so exotic. She's just beautiful. And she was just very sweet. You know, she was younger. You know, she was younger than the rest of us and not as experienced because I think she was a model mostly at the time and did a lot of TV commercials also, as models did back then. I was never a model. But anyway, you could tell she was a model. She just really knew how to carry herself like a dancer and whatnot. I didn't work a whole lot with her, but I just know that she was always, like you said, just real, honest, you know, just a nice, nice, nice young lady. I call her young lady. She's probably only 10 years younger than I am. We're all kind of in the same age range. I don't know.
Well, switching gears into horror now. Since we last spoke, you had the chance to be involved in Never Hike Alone 2. We're big fans of what Vincent DeSanti has done to keep the legacy of Jason Voorhees alive. How did that come about? I'd imagine it was pretty cool to be involved in the franchise again all these years later, even if it was a, quote, unofficial entry.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. You know, I had him on my podcast and it was the day of death for me because my internet went down, my computer storage was full, and it was just, and I felt so bad because I tried to piece that interview together to get to salvage it. And you know how it is when something, you can't salvage it anymore. And I do all my own editing and I just couldn't salvage it. So I felt so bad and I thought, oh, he's never going to speak to me again. And then out of the blue, I get a text from him. Hey, Lauren, you know, we're putting together a bunch of legacy people, you know, to do like these little voiceovers in the background of newscasters. And I'd love to have you involved. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Because I already, you know, knew that Tracy Savage was the on-air person. So the fact that he wanted to get the alumni who was available to do these voiceovers and then just kind of blend them all together. So I have a noisy household because I have an older dog who's a pointer pit bull mix. So he barks at flies, you know, it's like everything is a threat to the house. No one comes near our house. Even our relatives, they're like, feeling. So I had to go into the closet in the first, and we live in a small Cape Cod, right? It's an old stone 1900s house. And so the walls are pretty thick. I was in the closet and you could still hear him barking. So I was like, and I texted him back. I said, I'll do it as best I can, but the dog might be barking in the background again. So luckily I was able to shoot off a couple of clean readings for him. And then, yeah, he incorporated other people, you know, from the franchise, legacy people. And that was really, that was a cool opportunity. Because I told him, I said, if you need a crazy old cat lady or, you know, a crazy lady who has like 8 dogs in one of your movies, you know, think of me. I'm that person. So he went the journalist route for me. And I was very happy for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I love his movies. I made my husband watch them. He's like, these were actually really good. I went, yeah, they are.
We all have been clamoring for him to, you know, get it. Like, we want him to be given a real budget and be able to carry on the franchise because he would knock it out of the park.
Absolutely.
I agree. He's wonderful. He's got a great team around him. They're loyal to him, and he's just such a talented guy. I mean, young and talented. When I first met him several years back at a convention, and he gave me a DVD or a Blu-ray of, you know, one of his movies. I you know, popped it in not thinking anything of it. And I was like, wow, it's really good quality. Yeah.
Right.
I'm proud of him. My baby.
Yeah, we had him on the show. He's his mind is just, he's brilliant. Like, he knows this character back and forth and can tell you. I mean, it was one of our favorite interviews we've ever done. It was great to sit there.
Yeah, he's great. Such a bright guy. Really just.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about In a Violent Nature. I mean, that movie just came out. It's all over everything right now. Social media. I think I speak for everyone when, you know, I say that you stole the show and were the highlight acting wise, you know, despite not being introduced to the final act, spoiler alert. But, you know, how did that role come to be? You know, how was the experience working on the movie? Tell us about it.
I was very fortunate. It sort of fell into my lap in a way. They had been in talks with another actress and that kind of fell through. And they asked my rep, they said, tell us what Lauren's been up to. And she said, well, she was on a soap opera for many years, so she knows how to memorize lines like that. She can memorize long stretches of dialogue, which was, you know, obviously it was like a 13 minute, basically a monologue. And when she told me that she told Chris Nash that, the director, I said, Stacey, that was like 30 years ago. I said, I'm in my 60s now. I said, my brain is like, you know, fried. I'm like, you know, one of the Rolling Stones with my brain at this point, you know, although they remember their lyrics. So I had a meeting on Zoom with the director, Chris Nash, and one of the producers, and I did a cold reading because, you know, I didn't see a script or anything like that. I did a cold reading. He said they sent me the full script. I read it, the whole thing, and I was like, wow, that's cool. So we did another Zoom meeting, and in that meeting, I said to him, because he offered me the role, and I was like, cool, excellent. When are we going to do this? And he's like, oh, in a couple of weeks. I'm like, So I said, are you going to have cue cards on the hood of the truck when I'm driving? And he said, no. And I said, oh, okay. Lucky for my brain, because it had snowed and the weather in northwestern Canada was getting really wonky, they had to postpone my scene by a couple of more weeks. So I had like 4 weeks to memorize all that. And I was like, the gods were with me when this happened. So that's pretty much how that happened. And I thought it was in Toronto. It turns out that it was like above Wisconsin or above Milwaukee. I don't know, someplace out there. It was way west. It took me like 2.5 days to drive there. Okay.
Oh my
it
gosh.
Was crazy. Wow. Wow. It's a little area called Sault Ste. Marie. And so anyway, so that's how I got the part. Yeah, basically.
Okay. So I've got a follow-up question that's, you know, it's kind of off the wall. So the final scene, when you do arrive, like Brian said, you stole the show. You're the highlight. You're the class of the actors in the movie. What happened? Did Johnny catch you? Did he show up?
Well, that's the funny thing. I mean, Andrea Pavlovich, she's really good. She has such a beautiful aura about her. And I just really enjoyed her a lot. And she's the only one that I really worked with. You know, I mean, Rye, I met, you know, afterward, and I really enjoyed his presence. It reminded me, well, I don't want to say it reminded me of CJ Graham, because it's more complicated, his role, than CJ's role. There's more backstory for him to work with.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was like, oh, God, she's getting out of the truck. Oh, no, she's going to get it. Oh, no. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to say anything. So don't worry, everybody. But there were a couple of things that Chris Nash and I threw around when we were done filming, because it was the last day of filming. So right. We threw some ideas around. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if she was like Johnny's aunt, you know, and
yeah.
She's like picking up this girl and bringing her back to his lair or, yeah. You know. Or maybe it's Vicky, because she didn't have a name. She's just called the woman, and Vicky's still alive. And like the horror universe would go crazy over, you know? So it was, it was kind of funny, because as I was reading the script, I'm thinking, oh crap, I'm going to get whacked again. And I'm not going to say what happened to anybody who hasn't seen it, but that was my thought. I was like, can I just once be a final girl? I mean, I even died on the soap opera. It's like, somebody please let me live.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's definitely part of the tension, I think, that's built into that scene. As I was like, I don't know, I don't trust this woman. So she's going to turn.
Well, I will say I did play it a little bit more edgy the first day of shooting. And Chris Nash basically said to me, this woman is not from New York. You know, you can't be so threatening or, you know, so loud. You know, he said, pull it back. You've lived out here probably in a ramshackle old house. And I'm like, well, I live in a ramshackle old stone house. So he says, you know, just pull it back. Speak slower. She's not from New York. Speak more slowly and take your time with it. This is something that this type of animal violence is something that you're used to. This is a woman who's got, you know, her own rifle and hunts, you know. You know, you got to think of it that way. And I was glad because the first day when we filmed it, the truck was on a flatbed. So I wasn't actually driving. And when they listened to it and watched it that night after Nash spoke to me about the character and all that, he watched what we had done, you know, that afternoon. And when we went back the next day, the next morning, he said to me, he goes, Lauren, I hate to say or tell you this, but yesterday we can't use anything because the truck was too noisy. The truck that your truck was on was too noisy. And I just went, oh. And he goes, he's kind of tiptoeing around it a little bit. He's saying, well, you know, he's kicking the shit around a little bit. He's going, I was wondering, would you be okay? If I have to run through your rep, I will. Would you be okay driving? I was like, yeah, I can drive. I had a Toyota 4Runner. I can drive. And he goes, with the camera on the hood. And I said, being the actress that I am, I went, yeah, no problem. So we shot it. So, and it's funny because a lot of people, you know, in the universe, you know, in the horror community, you know, they're sending me messages on Instagram. They're like, you know, how did they make it look like you were really driving? You know, and another friend of mine in LA, you know, she sent me a text. She goes, oh my God, Lauren, you know, you did such a good job of making it look like you were driving. And I'm like, my dude, I was driving. So when you see me having my side eye on the road the whole time, it was an active back road. So we had to do reshoot a couple of scenes because a car would be coming from the other direction or somebody be behind me like honking their horn, like, you know, come on, you know, go at least 45, you know, and then they pass and they're like, oh, she's an old chick. She doesn't know what she's doing. So, you know, I was like ready for my, what do you call it? AARP card.
Oh my God. You know,
take this chick driver's license away. She can't see. So anyway, so that's a little oddball story about that scene. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Hey, fun fact, I'm an AARP member. You can get discounts with AT&T if you got your AARP card.
Oh, you can? I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. Okay.
That's why I got it. I think Ms. Lauren, we have a few follow-up questions within A Violent Nature. I was really excited to see that movie just because of the unique concept. I just want to ask, my first follow-up is, you know, you're obviously known as Vicky from Friday the 13th Part 2 all the way back in 81, and now it's 2024, you're in another slasher movie. What was the difference on set between the two films?
Oh my gosh, they were very similar, actually, because he shot it bare bones. Because it was an independent film. It didn't have a huge budget like they have now. Right. You know, you don't have a budget on this and the crew and everything like you would have on the Conjuring series, you know, which I just rewatched. You know, you just don't have that. You have, you know, a makeup artist. And of course, I wasn't wearing makeup in the movie, so I didn't have that luxury. But there was a makeup artist there. You know, you have a wardrobe person. You know, your producers, your director, your AD, your cinematographer. There aren't like tons of people to just come behind you and brush, you know, dog hair off of you or, you know, fluff your hair out and things like that. You know, movies now, because I'm my other border collie, he does TV and movies. There are hundreds of people behind the scenes. And I'm like, why do you need all these people? So in A Violent Nature and Girls Night Out even and Friday the 13th Part 2, they were more alike than some of the big budget, like Immaculate, you know, or something else. One of the big movies now, even Scream movies. I'm sure they've got hundreds of people on the crew behind the scenes because they've got bazillion-dollar budgets. We're coming in old school 80s. I mean, the cameras that he used, obviously, it's not the big Panavision things, you know, with the film inside, you know, it's not like that. So that's definitely different, you know. let me think. There's no gigantic boom overhead. We're all wearing body mics. Okay. And the car was all mic'd up. Whereas back in the 80s, you had this gigantic boom, right. You know, and it, they'd be like, oh, we have to do that scene again. There was a boom shadow across your face. And you think, oh, okay. So you always were aware of this big thing that looks like a giant Swiffer duster above your head. You know, now they've got all those cute little things that you don't see, those microphones that you don't see. So those are big differences. But because my dog, my other dog, works on TV and film, as did the dog before him, right. I've been aware of that switchover. But the amount of people was, to me, is just mind-boggling, the differences. Yeah.
And you can go into spoilers if you want to. We'll mark it. What were your thoughts just watching the film? Like, you know, obviously there's one particular death that's very, very famous now. What are your thoughts just post-watching the movie?
Well, it was weird. I've seen it twice. My brother and his fiance and my son and his wife, they all saw it before me. They saw it, you know, early access, you know, so I got the word on that. I saw it at an event. Andrea Pavlovic and Rye Barrett and I were there with the editor. We went to Governor's Island in New York City, and it was an outdoor screening, and it was sold out. Nice. It was really cool. So I got to see it with the horror community, which is very different than seeing in a movie theater with six of your closest friends. And they're just like, oh my God, Lauren, you know, like that. Where did you take us to? But that was a cool experience to see it with the audience. And when I was watching it and the whole ambiance of the movie, you know, you feel like you're in the woods. I mean, I live in the woods. All right. So, I mean, I do trail running. How I busted my ribs a couple of weeks ago, but I do trail running, and I know how creepy it is to be alone in the woods, you know, if I don't have my other dogs with me, and it's creepy. And I felt like Chris Nash really captured that creepiness. And when I'm watching it, my first thought, to be a little bit more succinct in the answer, was, now I see why he directed me the way he did. Because I would have stood out like a smelly piece of poop at the end of that movie. Awesome.
Well, I saw on IMDb that you have an upcoming project called He Sees You When You're Sleeping. That's the perfect title for a holiday slasher. What can you tell us about that movie?
Let's see. Well, Caroline Williams is in it. I'm sure you guys know who she is. She's another horror icon. Yeah. And so she was attached to the project first. And then I forgot how it came about, but the director and writer got my email address from someone out there. You know, they said, oh, these people are interested in working with you. You know, here's a link to their website if you're interested. And I'm like, wow, these movies are really fun and graphic. I was like, okay. And so it's Charlie Steeds and David Lennox. Who put this project together. They emailed me. They sent me a script. It's a neat little role. I've got several scenes in it. So I'm, you know, a little bit more in the movie throughout. You know, it's not as much as in a violent nature, but I'm in it throughout. So it's kind of cool. And I play the mom of the lead girl. And I have a husband who's an idiot and a jerk. And he gets his comeuppance, of course, as one does in horror movies.
Right.
And, obviously it's a Christmas horror movie and it's done really well. It's a lot of fun. I've seen the trailer for it and the trailer is really exciting. I'm sure they'll be putting it out there and it's already going to a film festival outside about, I don't know, an hour or so outside of London. So it's going to be as part of a big horror film festival there. So I might go to that. That's in November on my birthday. So it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool. It's with Dark Temple Motion Pictures and the director, Charlie Steeds. He reminded me in a good way of a young Hugh Grant. So it was like very difficult to concentrate when you're getting all googly eyed like this. Like, I mean, Chris Nash is a good looking guy too, you know? And so is Vincent DeSanti. Okay, I give up. Anyway, I see them all as my sons though, so... But it was a lot of fun. They were a great group of people and, again, a talented group of people.
You sound like me. I wouldn't be able to work with some of these people. I would be too in awe. Just like, oh, my God, they're beautiful.
We're getting ready to wrap up. Rapid fire. Who's scarier, Jason or Johnny?
Oh, shoot. I think Johnny's pretty scary. Yeah, I do.
He was scary.
I mean, he's definitely more brutal. Jacket. He's brutal. And I mean, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. I ain't doing any yoga anytime soon.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Miss Lauren, we really appreciate your time. Is there anything else in the works you want to plug, speak on, shout out your social media, any cons you're attending?
I'm not attending any cons right now, as I know. And as far as I know, I've been laying low. But I've got a gentleman, a young gentleman, who's putting together a graphic novel. And he's using my likeness as well as Russell Todd's. And I've seen some of the work that's been done already, and it's really cool. So I can't wait for that to come out. Couple of projects in the works for next year, but they're not set in stone. They're just verbal commitments. Might be playing a crazy cat lady in one of them, actually. Nice. We'll see. We'll see about that. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, people can find me on Instagram. It's just Lauren Marie Taylor, one with the number one behind it. Where are you guys from, by the way? Where do you guys live?
I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah, and I'm in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay, I was going to say, you guys don't sound like you're from New York.
Same time zone, but no.
Right, that's what I was wondering, because we were all in the same time zone. And I was like, you kept sending me like 3:30 Pacific. I'm like, I live in New York.
Oh, yeah, that's just because most of our guests are Pacific time or work on Pacific time. And so it's just usually that's usually what we schedule people on. So
Why. I almost always get scheduled for Pacific time. And I always have to say it's dinner time. I mean, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've said it's my bedtime.
Yeah, I get that.
But thanks, guys, for having me on. This has been really cool. And it's
Thank you.
So cool to talk about in a violent nature, too.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Just want to remind everybody.